Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. So glad to be with you on this beautiful Friday morning. Depending on where you are, it's beautiful here in Texarkana, Texas. It was a little crisp this morning, supposed to get up to 90 degrees later today, but feels really good this morning. Well, as you know, we had Share-a-thon the last 3 days, and it was a great success. Thank you to all who participated. We had final numbers, and this was shared with me this morning, 18,163 participants, people who called in on behalf of themselves or their families to give and to join into American Family Association to support the ministry moving forward. And we had over $4.1 million given. 4161800 was the number that I was given, and that number continues to grow. So we praise the Lord for that, and thank you for participating. American Family Association, American Family Radio really does make a difference, and it's exciting to know that many, many people, they turn on AFR in their cars or in their garages as they're working at the shop, and they just listen to it all day. They listen to all the different program hosts and all the wonderful programming that's on. And then, you know, in the early morning we have preaching, in the evening we have preaching, and I've been blessed to be a part of American Family Radio for probably 10 plus years. I'd have to really go back and look and see when we came on. I think it was around 2012 or something like that, 2013. So, but we're every 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. Central Time, From His Heart Ministries airs, and we preach the gospel, and we are just grateful to partner with such a great organization, such a great ministry as AFA and AFR. And I just have to say, Tim Walm is one of my favorite guys, just a lot of fun to be around, and I appreciate him and Allison and the family so much. So today we are going to be taking your calls probably a little earlier in the second segment. We'll start taking your calls 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We haven't gotten a chance to interact like we normally do with Share-a-thon, and so we want to encourage you to call in. But I was just going to go over some things today. What is in the news in case you have missed it? Now, what I have found is if you get on X, Twitter X, as some people like to call it. Elon Musk bought it from Jack Dempsey. It was called Twitter, and when you posted, it was called a tweet. Well, Elon Musk bought it to preserve free speech, spent $44 billion, billion with a B, to buy that social media platform. And he wanted to make sure that people would not be censored and canceled and kicked off. I remember I asked the Bishop B.W. Jackson, I said, how come you're not on Twitter? He said, I got banned from that long ago for things that I said, because when Jack Dempsey owned Twitter, they were the Gestapo. They were looking for anything that you said they didn't like, and they would take you off. Well, Elon Musk has it, and now it's a free speech platform because he believes in the First Amendment, as we all should. But on X, if you're not on it, let me just encourage you. You can learn a lot of things on X. There are a lot of good sites to go to on X that give you the true scoop on things. You get a lot of video clips of different things. I like to go to the Vigilant Fox. I get a lot of information from the Vigilant Fox, and you say, "Well, it's just a conservative spin zone." No, whoever does Vigilant Fox, I don't know who does it, but they give you clips. They show you this person said this, this person said that, and so you can learn a lot about what's in the news that the mainstream media is not covering. And so the big issue right now in what is really trending on X has to do with CBS News. CBS News is, I mean, I hate to say it. Jack Dorsey. Ah, Jay Budzilowski, my in-house producer. Hey, he said it's not Jack Dempsey. Jack Dempsey was a boxer. Jack Dorsey. My apologies. That's the difference between misspeaking and lying. We should send this to Tim Walls. When you say somebody's name and you get it wrong, that's misspeaking. When you say you were in China when you weren't, that is a lie. So big difference there. But Jack Dorsey owned Twitter and Elon Musk bought it from him. So anyway, the big news, CBS News. And CBS News, you know, it used to be a place that you would go to and you'd say, hey, I can get the straight scoop from CBS, but not any longer. And I posted the other day. Let me see. I posted just yesterday. Let me find it here. About CBS News. CBS News, their little tagline on their profile is your source for original reporting and trusted news. Well, they had an interview with Kamala Harris, and it was discovered that they had doctored the interview to make her look better because somebody posted her actual answer and then the edited answer that went out on TV. And so I want you to hear, this is back to back. First of all, it's the unedited answer and then what they actually aired. Listen to it.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
We are not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end.
So that first part was her original answer, her unedited answer, the word salad that didn't say anything, that just uses a lot of prepositional phrases. She doesn't know where to put a period, in my opinion. And the second part took out the ums and ahs and pauses and made it concise and made it sound like she was intelligent. Well, that is despicable. Donald Trump said that that is election interference. And he is personally calling for CBS to lose their broadcasting license and saying, hey, you guys are, that's the epitome of fake news. When you edit a candidate so that you make them look more articulate and more in charge versus what they are, which is just, you know, there's a blank slate there. I mean, the lights are on, but nobody's home. And you ask a question that they should have answers to, and there is no answer. You know, Kamala Harris was making the media tour, and she went on Stephen Colbert, and she was on The View, and on all these places that are, you know, in the tank for her, and they're not going to do anything that would, you know, push back on her, ask her hard questions. And one of the questions she was asked on The View, what would you do differently than Joe Biden? It's been Biden Harris for the last 3.5 years, and now we're talking about a presidency Harris Walls. What would you do differently? And she said, nothing comes to mind. Well, that's probably true. I don't think a lot does come to her mind, but she is basically saying, you know, I wouldn't do anything differently. And then on Colbert, he asked her the question, what does a Biden administration look like? And she said, well, I'm not Joe Biden, and I'm not Donald Trump, and I love America. Well, what kind of an answer is that? You know, people want to know, hey, what is your vision for our country? How are you going to get there? When I sold chemicals for Nalco Chemical Company, we would sit down. We had a brochure that Nalco put together, and we would sit down with prospective customers, and we would ask them these questions. Where are you now? Where do you want to be? How are you going to get there? And how are you going to monitor progress? Those are four great questions. Four great questions for a company to answer, for a church to answer, for an individual to answer about his own life. Where am I now? Look soberly in the mirror. Where do I want to be? For instance, give you for instance, you look in the mirror and you say, okay, where am I now? Okay, I'm 25 pounds overweight. I'm flabby. I don't like what I see in the mirror. Well, where do you want to be? I want to be in shape. I want to be 25 pounds lighter. Well, how are you going to get there? How are you going to do it? You can't keep doing the same things over and over. You know, that's the old definition of insanity, doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different result. And then how are you going to monitor progress? It's important to monitor progress. Well, basically what Kamala Harris is saying is, I'm just Joe Biden 2.0. Well, I'm not Joe Biden. I'm Kamala Harris. But Kamala Harris doesn't really have anything. Kamala Harris is a sock puppet for, in my opinion, Barack Obama. And I'm just going to do what I'm told. We saw her. Many of you saw the clip where she was speaking at a rally. She speaks off a teleprompter and the prompter went out and she didn't know what to do. She's deer in the headlights look and this look of fear. Now, I'm a pastor, and so I speak often before, a live crowd, large crowd. Every Sunday morning I speak, and I speak on Wednesday nights, almost every Wednesday night. And we have a man up group that I speak at that a lot on Thursdays. And so I know what it's like when you're looking at a crowd, and maybe if you're reading something, if I'm reading a Bible passage or something off the screens, off the back screens, and something happened and it glitches, then you're like, okay, now I got to ad lib because it's not on there. Now, I have something to say, and I have the word hidden in my heart. And so if the screen goes dead, I can just say, oh, okay, the screen went dead. Well, let me tell you what that passage said. Maybe some, I don't have the whole Bible memorized. And so if it's a passage from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy or something like that, I have to read it because I can know the gist of what is on there, but I can't just quote it verbatim. And so if it goes out, then I have to share what's in my heart. I have to ad lib. She didn't have any of that. I mean, she is totally manufactured. It is a sad, sad experience, sad, sad day in America that people would vote for a candidate that has nothing inside. There seems to be no principles, convictions, no this is what I want to do. And so where are we now? Well, we're in a bad place. Barack Obama had he's gone to the campaign trail to try and salvage some things. He knows things aren't good. And so he admits that people are looking for change. And, that was his whole campaign when he ran for president, hope and change. And as one person said, hey, if you vote for that guy, at the end of the deal, you're going to hope you have some change left because he's going to take all your money with high taxes. But he comes on the campaign trail. He admits that people, it's not good. Now, Kamala Harris is saying, hey, vote for me, that we're going to move forward. Yet she says she wouldn't do anything different from what Biden has done, and so it's not going to be forward. The only thing forward is, and she's made this clear, she's going to go after free speech, and that is scary. This is what she said concerning the DOJ and free speech.
We'll put the Department of Justice of the United States back in the business of justice. We will double the Civil Rights Division and direct law enforcement to counter this extremism. We will hold social media platforms accountable for the hate infiltrating their platforms because they have a responsibility to help fight against this threat to our democracy. And if you profit off of hate, if you act as a megaphone for misinformation or cyber warfare, if you don't police your platforms, we are going to hold you accountable as a community.
So that was Kamala Harris, and basically saying, hey, if your platform includes hate, now what is hate? Hate is anything that goes against big government, big pharma, mainstream media. Hey, we need guys like Elon Musk. We need platforms like X so we can speak the truth in love. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we'll be right back after the break.
If you are 65 or older, you know this, inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. Over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and co-payments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call, too. Call now. 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wits' end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
Hey friends, Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. Hurricane Helene has wreaked havoc in multiple states, and the damage and loss of life has been heartbreaking to see unfold. 8 Days of Hope deployed our mass feeding arm the morning after the hurricane had passed. Today, 8 Days of Hope is serving in multiple states, providing food, hot showers, laundry services, and helping families with their homes. Volunteers are tarping roofs, mucking out homes, and removing trees with chainsaws and utilizing bucket trucks. If you're 16 years of age or older and are drawn to serve these precious families, please go to 8daysofhope.com to learn on how you can volunteer. Please take a moment, read the FAQs. Remember, it's free and we provide the food and lodging. Please take a moment to pray for these families who, to no fault of their own, are in great need. Pray that the volunteers serving with 8 Days of Hope are a glimpse of hope, a glimpse of Jesus to those in need. Again, for more information on how you can support this outreach, please go to 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. So we're talking about things in the news, and we had mentioned about CBS. CBS kind of seems to be a dumpster fire right now, as people are just exposing them for the lies. And then they show a clip of this reporter for CBS really grilling this CRT guy, and they don't like that at all. And they said, you know, don't do that anymore. Well, he was asking great questions, and it had to do with Palestine versus Israel and Israel's right to exist as a nation. And that guy was like, you know, he was kind of, I think, taken aback that he was being pushed like that. But it was great journalism, and we learned that that guy got disciplined for that, because you don't do that on CBS. You don't do that to our guests, especially one as revered as this man supposedly was. And then it came out that CBS had said no longer to their on-screen hosts, don't talk about Jerusalem being in Israel, because we're not sure about that. Good night. Everybody's sure about that. Everybody knows Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. It became the capital of Israel when David set up his kingdom there in 1000 BC. That's how long ago it's been the capital of Israel. And Donald Trump, to his credit, he said he was going to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And guys like John Kerry, it's the worst decision of all. You're going to create all kinds of havoc. There's going to be war. This guy's going to cause war in the Middle East. Well, he did it, and there wasn't any of that. And our embassy is in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And listen, if you're a news organization and you have in your profile on X that you're the trusted news and you do stuff like that, well, you're either going to need to issue a huge apology and say, we're going to repent and do better. We're going to amend our ways, or you're done. Nobody's going to watch CBS. Because you become just the Babylon Bee at that point. You're just a satire site. So that was in the news. Kamala Harris and her attack on free speech, not having anything different other than saying, I'm going to really go after free speech platforms like Elon Musk. She didn't mention Twitter X. She didn't mention Elon Musk, but everybody knows that's what she was talking about. Elon Musk spoke at the rally with Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, back to the scene of the crime where he was shot, came just in a hair's breadth of losing his life, turned his head just at that moment by God's providence and God's grace and was shot in the ear, but came very close to being killed. Still not sure how this guy got on the roof and all the unanswered questions. It surely seems like an inside job. Not surprising. I mean, we know that the swamp, as Trump came into office in 2016 and said, I'm going to drain the swamp. I don't think any one of us knew how deep and how wide the swamp was and is. I mean, all these agencies in the government are just the swamp. They're just in it for power and building more and more and securing their jobs, and they're not in it for the American people. So Elon Musk spoke at that rally with Trump. Elon Musk knows if Trump loses, they're going to come after me, and they're going to look to shut down that social media platform, Twitter X. And so I told the church on Sunday, last Sunday, as I preached on the election 2024, what is a Christian to do? That's what I called the message. You can go on our Facebook page, fbctexarkana.org, or to YouTube for FBC Texarkana and listen to it if you'd like to do that. But I talked about the fact that God is for freedom. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. And God is for free speech because he wants us to be able to freely share the gospel. One of the reasons that America has made such a difference on the world is because there's freedom in America. There's freedom to stand up and preach on a street corner, freedom to say whatever the Bible says, freedom to call men, women, boys, and girls to repentance for living in sexual sin, for living in greed, for living in bitterness, freedom to call out the insanity that is the transgender movement, freedom to call out the LGBTQIA+ agenda as evil and wicked and destroying lives. You know, Kamala Harris wants to shut all that down because they would say that's hate speech. You can't do that. That's hate speech. Well, that's freedom of speech. And using pronouns. You have to use my pronouns. If you don't use my pronouns, we're going to cancel you. We're going to come after you. Well, I'm not going to enter into your insanity. I saw a clip from John MacArthur from a few years ago, and he said, you know, if a male says he's a female and I can become a female, and a female says, well, I can become a male, he said, that's evidence of a reprobate mind, a depraved mind, a mind that no longer works. He said, you're on the level of the person who thinks he's a potato chip. I had a heartbroken grandmother and grandfather come to me just a few weeks ago, tears, just crying so hard. And we prayed, and she said, pray for my grandson. He thinks he's a cat. And it was just like, what in the world? He thinks he's a cat. He's a furry. And I guess the furry that he chooses is to be a cat. And I mean, it's just mind blowing. And what do we have in our government? We promote this insanity that men can be women and men, women can be men. Hey, if you can be whatever you want to be and change your gender and everybody is supposed to say, yeah, that's right, that's good, that's how we cheer you on, then if I can become a woman, then I can become anything. I can become a cat. I can become a truck. I saw a man on the street interview, and they were talking to this person, and they said, well, what would you say to me if I said to you, this was a guy asking this college girl this question, what would you say if I said I was a woman? She said, I'd say more power to you, or something to that effect. He said, well, what would you say if I told you, this guy's probably in his 30s, if I told you I was a 75-year-old Asian woman? And she said, well, I don't know about that. It's like, well, if I can be a woman, and that doesn't have to be based in reality, then I can be 75. I can be Asian. I can be black. I can be anything because you've untethered from reality. Well, we desperately need to vote accordingly, because free speech is critical, and free speech is on the ballot this election. You have one candidate that's for free speech and one candidate that's against it. You have one candidate that wants to lock up those that advocate for life and go to the abortion clinics and say it's wrong. Listen, we want to help you save your baby, and they'll put you in jail for that. And the other candidate that is not where we want them to be on the pro-life issue, but is much more open to listening. As one guy put it, you know, you have one guy that's not a Christian, but another person running who is anti-Christian and anti the things of God, anti-life, anti-free speech, anti-family. She's going against those things, anti-Israel. She doesn't like Israel. Why? Because Barack Obama is calling the shots, and Barack Obama can't stand Israel. And in my opinion, I just share my opinions on this program. In my opinion, that guy, he calls himself a Christian. He's anything but. He has not bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a closet Muslim, in my opinion. And listen, I don't think any of the candidates are born-again believers. But as you've heard stated over and over and over, we're not voting for who's going to be the pastor. We're voting for who's going to be the leader in America. I would love it if we had a good, godly, outspoken Christian that was running for president, who had our values and was able to lead. You know, just because you're a good and godly person doesn't mean you'd make a good president. I think Jimmy Carter is an example of that. You have to be able to lead. You have to have courage to do those things. Well, also in the news, University of Kansas professor Philip Locock, he was caught on video saying this in his class at the University of Kansas.
Guys are smarter than girls. You got some serious problems. That's what frustrates me. There are going to be some males in our society that will refuse to vote for a potential female president because they don't think females are smart enough to be president. We could line all those guys up and shoot them. They clearly don't understand the way the world works. Did I say that? Scratch that from the recording. I don't want the deans hearing that I said that.
Well, we all heard it, the deans and everybody else. And he's been put, from what I understand, on leave, on suspension, as they look into this. But the idea that, hey, if you don't vote for Kamala Harris, there's only one woman running for president. If you don't vote for her because you don't think she's good enough compared to a man, you don't think she can lead, she can't. It has nothing to do with her being a woman. It has to do with her being who she is. She's not a leader. She's never led anything. She doesn't tell the truth. And the lights are on, but nobody's home when it comes to being asked questions and being put on the spot and saying, what is your vision for the country? How are you different from Joe Biden? What are you going to do for this issue, that issue, the other issue? She does not have an idea about that. It's like, well, I haven't been told what I'm supposed to say yet on that. She would never say it like that, but that's basically what is going on. Well, this election is extremely important. As you know, we hear over and over and over again, it's the most important election in our lifetime, and that is true. It was true in 2020 up to our lifetimes there. Well, where we are today, heading into 2025, this is the most important election in our lifetime. And George Barna, the research guru, he came back from his recent research project with a heavy heart. Because he said, I'm heartbroken by my latest research showing that only 51% of people of faith are likely to vote in November. And a full 32 million Christians who regularly attend church probably won't vote. Apathy among Christian voters could be the deciding factor in this election. Hey, you have a responsibility before God to vote. It is a privilege and it is a duty. You can't sit this one out. Bill Federer, silence equals consent. And if you're silent when you need to do something, when you need to say, hey, I'm gonna speak for the unborn. I don't want the unborn to be murdered in the womb all the way up until the ninth month, and then even afterward if they have their way. No, I'm going to intervene there. I'm going to intervene for this, against this transgender insanity. I'm going to intervene so we don't lose our First Amendment rights, so that my pastor and others can freely preach the gospel without being concerned about incarceration, cancellation, incarceration. Hey, you study church history. This has been going on for a long, long time. What makes America so unique and so great is that we have had freedom, freedom to freely worship the Lord in spirit and truth, freedom to speak, freedom to petition the government, freedom to peacefully and peaceably assemble. Those things are critical. And then that's the First Amendment. Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. Or we could put it in the terms of freedom. You're free to bear arms, to protect yourself against government tyranny, against those who would want to come and cause you harm. So much going on in the news, and the phone lines are open right now for you to call in, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. It's been several days since we've been able to open the phone lines, so it would be my pleasure to get to visit with you on the air and to hear what you have to say. As it comes to the election sermon, here's another thing that George Barna made a comment on after he looked at the research. He said, much of this civic apathy flows from inaction by our nation's churches, many of which avoid teaching on the key social issues that could guide people's votes or help them understand how the Bible speaks to these issues. Barely half of Christian churches, only 56%, bothered to take the simplest election-related activity, encouraging their people to vote. And in the past 2 years, only 61% of churches provided any sermons or teaching about the Bible's stand on key cultural issues. The topics they did address most frequently were religious freedom, 67%, and poverty, 63%. Fewer than half of Christian churches taught about other social issues. Among regular churchgoers in the past 2 years, a minority recall teachings on abortion, the issue of crime, law and order, and law enforcement, or same-sex marriage. What's being lost in all of this is the responsibility of Christians to vote, the call to be salt and light so that biblical values are represented in the public square, and to influence their government and nation with God's truth. So true. I agree with George Barna in those findings and what the research shows. Listen, pastors, we need to stand up and speak up. Christians, we need to stand up and speak up. We need to pray, God, give me boldness, as they prayed in Acts chapter 4, so that we may speak as we ought to speak and not be afraid. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840.
Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from The Morning Show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes. I'd like to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. AFR.net, any podcast platform, or at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, my book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now available on Audible. So come join us at Sandy Rios 24/7, and remember, God's Velvet Hammer, available at Audible.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
I'm Rick Scarborough, and this is my take. A total of 468 seats in the U.S. Congress, 33 Senate seats, and all 435 House seats are up for election on November 5th, 2024. The choices could not be starker. The results of this election will dictate whether America makes an abrupt course correction or barrels further down the road to Marxism and away from God's design as laid out by our founding fathers. Will you bother to vote? I believe that for Christians who are listening, you don't have a choice. God expects His followers who live in America to vote, and to vote biblically. I hear all the excuses that people make, but for believers, no excuse is acceptable. Neither candidate is perfect, but there's never been a perfect candidate. We are not voting for national pastors, but rather for national leaders, for the best men and women who will uphold our Constitution. I'm Rick Scarborough, and that's my take.
The words you are about to hear are taken from letters sent in by members of the Trinity Debt Management Program.
Dear Trinity, today I'm making my final credit card payment.
Before I came to you, I was in a constant state of anxiety and panic, but now there is hope for my family's financial future.
Working with Trinity made me understand that I'm not alone.
You really do help people.
Your kindness will never be forgotten.
Without Trinity's support, I would not have achieved my lifelong goal of becoming debt-free.
We saved a lot on interest and penalties, of course, but the reward was the gift of human kindness.
Trinity has carried me through a very difficult time in my life. You're amazing.
I used to feel so anxious and hopeless. Now I feel grace and peace.
God bless Trinity as you continue to help others become debt-free.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We have the phone lines open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, please give me a call. And we have Jerry on the line from Texas. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor, it's good talking to you again. I called one other time. So I'm in conflict a little bit spiritually just because I go to a church in College Station, and the pastor hit the point of saying that if, as a Christian, you stand against the culture, you will be judged differently. And while I know that's the truth, I don't think that it quite hit the mark, and I don't know that I'm wrong or right, or how to approach him to say that you tell me these truths, which are true, but he doesn't express what the culture currently says that, you know, if I stand against, right? And a lot of the people in the church that I talk to are like, well, what does that mean, kind of, right? And when I express to them, if you say that a man can't be a woman, or if you say that, you know, premarital sex is wrong, the church gets offended. But I don't know how to approach him. I've requested a meeting with him. I'm going to email him. And I guess, you know, a little guidance. would help on how to approach him. I don't want to offend a brother in Christ.
Right.
But I think the Spirit's telling me that sometimes it might be time to leave a church.
Yeah, good question, Jerry. Well, I think it's good to talk to your pastor, especially before you leave, you know, if you're going to leave. But just say, you know, I would approach him this way. Listen, I love you. I pray for you. You know, I appreciate you and what you do. But I just have this burden on my heart, and I want to share it with you. I wouldn't accuse him of anything. I would just say, I'm struggling with some things. Please help me understand where you're coming from. And so you always come in giving him the benefit of the doubt and let him express himself. I had, after I preached my election sermon last Sunday, I had somebody email me, a guy in our church, and he took issue with me on several things. He wasn't rude about it, but he was very, very frank about what he felt. And so I took the time to respond to all his comments, and we went back and forth twice. And he said, you know, you shared things from just fake news, false reports. I fact-checked you and you were wrong. And so I showed him where I got this information from, this source, this source, this source. You know, obviously, none of us are going to New York and counting how many illegal aliens are there. You have to take somebody's word for it, and how much money they're spending and those kinds of things. But anyway, I responded to him. He responded back to me. I responded to him again and said, you know, I don't want this to keep going indefinitely. You know, I appreciate where you're coming from. You and I may just disagree on these things, but that doesn't affect me as your pastor. Now, if it affects you and you can't stay here, then that's up to you. But so we spoke back and forth freely in love. And then he came Wednesday night to church. I said, hey, next time you're in this service, let me put a name with a face and give you a hug. And so we hugged on Wednesday night after the service. And we'll probably not see the key things the same, but that's okay. He knows where I stand, and he knows why I stand there. And I wasn't defensive about it. So I would just encourage you, Jerry, as you go to your pastor, just come with a heart that says, help me understand. And I do think with all my heart, in the day and age in which we live, pastors have to stand up for the truth. And you don't just tiptoe around the tulip, so to speak. You tell people, this is exactly what I'm talking about and why. People don't need to leave the service scratching their head saying, I'm not really sure what he was talking about. You know, I'm not sure what issues he means by that. I always want to be crystal clear. So people may not agree with it, but they don't wonder what Jeff believes about X, Y, and Z.
Right. My other concern is that I don't want to seem to be political in a sense. However, I have met with a different pastor of the church when I requested if I could put like a voter guide in the church flyer, right, that's non-biased, this or that. And that pastor was like, as a church, we don't get politically involved. We don't want to be involved in that. However, in the next breath, he does state that the church is a polling center during elections. So I'm a little conflicted and confused about that as well.
Yeah, I think some pastors feel like all the voter guides are they're slanted, they're biased. None of them are just impartial. That I'm not saying that's true. I'm saying they think like that, and so they don't want to put that out there for their people. We have American Family Association iVoter Guide. We provide that for people. But they'd say, oh, you're part of this organization. That organization's super conservative, and you want us to vote this way. And I don't have any problem with that, because we're going to vote for the candidate that has policies that more closely align to the Bible. I don't see where no pastor should shy away from that. But, you know, if you say to yourself as a pastor, well, I want to be a safe haven for everyone. I don't care how you vote. You can be pro-abortion and be a solid member of our church. You can be pro-LGBTQIA+ and be a solid member of our church. Well, how is that possible? Now, I have for our church, hey, if you have those thoughts, we want you to come here. But as far as becoming a member here, well, here's what we believe. And when you become a member, you're signing off that says, okay, I may not believe everything down to the jot and tittle, but I believe my beliefs line up with my church's beliefs. And Jerry, you and I both know, I mean, you don't want to go to a church where your beliefs are totally different.
And that's kind of where I'm conflicted. I don't like politics. I mean, no Christian does. But as William Federer stated in his book, Silence is Consent, you can't get away from it. Not even Christ
right.
did. That's where my. That's why I'm trying to understand. I always approach in love. I always pray prior. I guess I appreciate your guidance and understanding. And so that I'm going to leave shortly and let you take another caller. It's just that I want to make sure that how I'm approaching it is in consistency with the love that Christ says. I mean, he shared the love of the Father, but he never tolerated sin.
No. You're exactly right. Well, I hope that goes well, Jerry. May God give you wisdom as you talk to your pastor. And I think more people that are in churches like that, you need to go talk to your pastor and say, listen, we need you to start speaking on these subjects because it's not political. So much of the issues that are in politics are moral, biblical issues. Abortion is a moral, biblical issue. Transgenderism is a moral, biblical issue. Israel is a biblical issue. I will bless those who bless you, God said to Abraham, the father of Israel. You know, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob has the 12 tribes. And so it all comes through Father Abraham. And so I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Israel is critical. And our stance as a nation is critical toward Israel. We need to be for Israel, praying for Israel, supporting Israel. And as a church, I'd let our church know, hey, this is a pro-Israel church. We pray for Israel because we know that God has selected them to be the vehicle in which he shares the gospel with the world. Now, they obviously rejected it when Jesus came. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, the Jews, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And so we know that not all Jews rejected him. And Peter and James and Paul and the rest of the gang, they were all Jews. And Jesus was a Jew. And so we are our Savior. My best friend is a Jewish carpenter. I like that little phrase. But God is not done with Israel. And so we pray for Israel. And we know that Israel, they're in darkness, in deceit right now. Their eyes are blinded to the truth because they rejected their Messiah when he came. But in the latter days, during the time of the tribulation, they will come out of that ether and they will put their faith and trust in Jesus. Many, many, many Jews are going to come to Christ. So I appreciate the call. We have Tawana from Virginia. Tawana, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, doing well. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah.
So my comment was, I was listening to you earlier when you were talking about CBS and how they slant to the left.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be since they're a national, you know, news reporter. But I was recently interviewed by them. They did a report, I think it came out on Monday, about women supporting Harris and women supporting Trump.
Uh-huh.
And my group was supporting Trump. And we sat down with the interviewer and we spoke with her, I know, a good 10 minutes and just laid out a lot of good policies that we were for and why we were supporting him as women. And when I looked at the actual reporting that she did, she took one little phrase from me that was probably the most negative that she could find because it wasn't much.
Right.
And then she took one phrase from the other lady. And then she did just all this stuff about the women for Harris, and it was just very clear that she was slanted in that direction. It was really mind-blowing.
Yeah. Well, and that's been the issue. You know, a lot of times conservatives don't like to go on those shows and do an interview because they're going to cut it up and they're going to make you say, you know, look like you're foolish or your statements are, you know, bombastic or something like that. Whether you're not, I mean, Trump has had that happen to him many, many times. You're not showing the whole thing. you're cutting it off in a place where, give you for instance, Tawana, there was somebody that wrote a book and they were trying to disprove Christianity, and they quoted from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul is making the case that if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, then you're still in your sins, your faith is worthless. And he says, if we have trusted in Christ only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. And so he just includes that part. He said, see, this is what Paul has said. Well, he's missing the whole point. Paul is making a point. If, there's a big if in there, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, then our preaching is in vain and we're false witnesses. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. And if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Well, you have to take that in context. And that's what they do. The news sources that aren't honest, that are pushing an agenda, and mainstream media is all in the tank for the leftist agenda. And so they'll do stuff like that. That's why I think it was Trump that said he wasn't going to do another interview with CBS, because they're not honest and they're not fair and they're not telling people what really takes place. Just like you experienced, Tawana, where they took something you said, and in the midst of everything you said, they took something they could find that would make you sound the worst. And so that's pitiful. And the opposite is true, what they did with Kamala Harris. They had to edit her to make her sound coherent. And that is just not right. So I appreciate you calling in, and thank you so much for sharing that that experience, Tawana. Well, we have Raymond on the line from Pennsylvania. Raymond, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call. I just have a comment about this abortion issue. How it's like a religion to these women. And I had many arguments because I'm pro-life and I donate to preborn. And I made comments like, you girls act as if the getting pregnant is like catching a cold. There's no responsibility. They know what they've done. There's an act to get pregnant. So right. Let's go from there. Why didn't you protect yourself? Why does an unborn have to suffer? And they don't understand that. And it's like, my body, my choice. Well, let's say I decided not to get the COVID shot, then I'd be scorned because a lot of the people think we all had to. Well, my answer would be, my body, my choice. And I shut this person down. And they don't understand how that blood shed on this nation still cries out, like with Abel. You know, and I don't feel comfortable anymore in this nation, as if God's going to totally just show his wrath on us. Women have to be educated about, you know, about the fact that you chose to get pregnant.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, rape and incest, obviously they didn't choose that. But still, you don't punish the baby for that. The baby is not, it's a separate, the baby is a separate entity. And so if my daughter gets raped, it's not right for me to go next door and kill the neighbor's baby. And that's what it's like. That's a separate person. And so even of rape and incest. Now, if it's a medical issue, which is very, very rare, but a medical issue, and the life of the mother versus the life of the child, you know, if that's all we're dealing with in abortion, we have very, very, very few issues like that. And so we could definitely work through that. Well, I appreciate the call, Raymond. Sorry, Nelson, Bill, and CJ. I'm sorry I didn't get to you. We ran out of time. But please email me, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org, if you have a question or comment. I'd love to hear from you. And then you can call in next time. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.